Final speaker today, Danielle Varda, who is an assistant professor at the University of Colorado in Denver with the School of Public Affairs. She's been studying collaborative governance and applying those theories and research methods to different kinds of public health systems.
Well, I want to start by saying thanks to the folks in Kentucky and Robert and Jonathan for being incredibly supportive and encouraging through the last few years of my research. I wasn't quite sure what to present today, but I'm going to go in a little bit different direction because I'm not going to present an analysis. I probably stretched my $10,000 grant the furthest because I had a baby in between, so my year-long grant's a year-and-a-half-long grant now, and I've just had an enormous amount of success actually hiring students to do work and stretching it for a long way. So I have a lot of different things. Mostly this money supported funding for a tool that I've developed, a social network data collection and analysis tool called Partner. And in the last year, thanks to this money, this Partner program has become sophisticated and in use by a lot of health departments, which I'm really excited about. It's given me data to do analyses and try to link this kind of stuff that I'm studying to outcomes. But one of my favorite parts is actually working with practitioners and seeing how this data can be used to actually change the work that they're doing day to day. And I get asked a lot about this topic I'm going to talk about, so I thought, well, here's a chance I can actually talk a little bit about what we're trying to develop, myself and some colleagues actually also in public affairs, a leadership kind of training program for public managers on management strategies, using data to drive decision making and collaborative governance. So that's kind of where I'm going today. I'll start with a little bit of background. I do study this collaboration topic in public health. I think everyone's probably familiar with the idea that public health departments no longer look just inwardly at their agency for answers. We look outwardly and look for unusual partnerships even that can help us leverage resources, get access to hard to reach populations, and even maybe funding and data, things of that sort. This has become really important. Of course, we're familiar with the 10 essential services, the fourth one being mobilizing community partnerships and actions. So it's been recognized as an important activity for public health departments. But also, proposed standards for national voluntary accreditation now list collaborative processes as also an important competency. I try to frame this in now quality improvement. There's a real need for ways for public health departments to measure this stuff, propose changes and action plans around, improving this kind of action, and then acting on that as well. And so I'm framing it in that way. An important part of this I found is documentation of these efforts. So in collaborative work, it's very hard, besides saying we have 10 partners today and 20 tomorrow, and listing our partners, to say really what we're doing. What is collaboration and what does it actually mean? So part of my work that I'm working on now is creating documentation framed in what I think is the best way to measure it, which is this network framework for health departments to demonstrate for accreditation purposes. I like to use this slide from NACHO. It's from their MAP program. It really kind of operationalizes the kind of way that I think about collaboration in public health. These lines, this makes up a network map that a lot of folks are probably familiar with these days. The lines represent relationships between these circles, which we call nodes or partners. And then in this case, the nodes represent like sectors, corrections or public health, elected officials and law enforcement. So there's no empirical data behind this map that NACHO put together. They just said, let's think about public health this way, embedded in a network of partners. We're greater than, ourselves, we're part of a whole. This is how actually I measure and think about collaboration, is how can we demonstrate the benefit that public health gets by being connected by one or two steps to these other kinds of nodes and departments. We have a need for better measures. If you've seen me talk before, you've probably heard me say this, but this is the heart and soul of where I come from. Right now, when I started this work working with health departments and I would ask them, how do you measure collaboration? And they would say, more is better. The more people we have around the table, the more collaboration, that's better. Number of links in a network, that's better. Well, I'm a network scientist and also someone who's embedded in crazy, you know, large networks myself, like you probably are, and that can get really overwhelming. So the more and more connections that we have isn't always a better solution. In fact, it could be almost detrimental to our cause, and so I call that collaboration failure. Everything you're working for can collapse because your node only has a capacity for so much. So this way that health departments were moving forward to demonstrate capacity for their collaboration actually was reflective of their lack of capacity in some ways. And so it wasn't really fair to say this is the best way to do collaboration. So I've been thinking, well, let's apply some of these network theories that we apply in other fields to this field. So I'll just give a quick one here for example. I like this kind of picture. This is kind of, imagine you are one of these nodes in this network, and you're embedded in your own sub-network. We're all this way. Our sub-networks are embedded in larger other sub-networks that are connected like this, crazy, right? This is probably how we all... I write a little bit about what I call relationship budgeting, which is the idea of budgeting for our relationships, and this makes sense for managers, maybe not in our personal lives. It's the idea that it costs something for us to relate and connect to others, and unless we account for that in a workforce environment, if we're going to ask our employees to collaborate and network, we have to give them the space and the time for that in their job descriptions. So if we're not, we kind of get like this, and everybody gets overwhelmed, and we don't really have a good way to demonstrate it. So there's some theories in network science that say, what if you got rid of all the redundancy, all the clutter? And here's you, and you only had one connection to each of these subgroups. Could you get the same advantage that you would get by being connected like this? Well, this theory called structural holes says you can if you're smart enough to figure out who the right person or thing to connect to in this other subnetwork is so that you get the full benefit. By doing that, you free up your network and you can start connecting to numerous other subgroups. So if you're going to have this many connections, they might as well be to a very diverse system of subnetworks. So as a management strategy, this is kind of exciting because now you have new access to populations and funding and data, all the things that we need to make population health work, right? So that's kind of the concept. But there's also this need for technical assistance. What I've done over the last few years is help people measure. We measure, they get maps, they get scores, and then they come back to me and say, now what do I do? And so it's been, actually, another thing that this grant's helped me do is, or a challenge it's created for me is it's caused a problem. Now I just need more money to continue these programs because I have too many people interested in this. And so what's happened is people have come to me, so we're trying to kind of create this program that says, here's what you do with this data. Here's how to think about it on the ground in a practical way. So I call it strategic collaborative management, and right now it's not a program. Right now it's just test cases. I've probably worked with 5-6 health departments working on this to really help them think through their data and how to change what they're doing on the ground to make their collaboration better so their outcomes are reflected that way. This is a lot of words, but basically what it's saying is that managers in health departments and all over governments are actually used to a hierarchical kind of way of doing things. So learning to manage across sectors and collaboratively is a real challenge, and it's unfamiliar. So by implementing a technical assistance program, we can help these managers better understand and better assess the logic of their networks, understand their own networks, how they operate, how they're structured, how to work more effectively with other organizations, how to work more effectively with members of their own organization, improve the benefits of network involvement while minimizing drawbacks, and to be more effective leaders and managers in the network. So that's kind of what this program's about. This is just a quick little, this is the program to analyze, record, and track networks to enhance relationships. I need to plug it a little bit. It's a free program that folks can use to do this. It has an analysis tool, a data collection and analysis tool. It's online now. It uses social network analysis, which very briefly, I'm not going to go into this much, is a measure of relationships between actors rather than a measure of the actor themselves. Today, I'm going to go forward. I thought, should I use one of these examples that I've been working with? But that always gets a little bit hard because I can't really say who they are and I don't want to divulge their information. So I actually wrote a teaching simulation over the last year using Partner that won an award I was really excited for best teaching simulation. So it's kind of neat because people are thinking about public health collaboratives now this is in my public affairs world because I think of this. So I'm going to present just some examples from that today. This teaching simulation represents a collaborative on homeless issues. So what we've done is we've said, So there's this whole simulation says, okay, there's a group, they want to address homeless issues in their community, and so they're just meeting for the first time, and they're saying, here, we know there's some people working on this in our community, we're going to ask them about how they connect and what they've done. And then the simulation goes through an analysis. I use it in my classes, and students go through it, and there's questions. Who would you? I'll show you. I'm just going to go through this example, some of the questions. This is by far not the whole simulation. It takes a three-hour class to get through it. So, I do use these core dimensions of connectivity that we came up with in previous research. These are the kind of network measures that are reflected in Partner and also in this work and how we think about management strategies. Kind of the membership row up there represents where I think when I came onto this research issue, people really were. Who are members? Who are our stakeholders? And how many are there? And that right there can take people, it's a very important place to be. The MAP process makes that an important step in this MAP process of bringing community partners together. It's important to find out who's part of your network, who the stakeholders are. In North Carolina, I was working with a group that, I mean, I think they spent 9 months doing this, figuring this out, when they realized this, you needed to know this before you measure it. So then that's an important part, but we're hoping to go much further into that. We next look at network patterns, so positions, frequency of those interactions. In our case, what's the role of the health department? We've often found in interviews that people think the health department should play a very prominent role at the start of collaboration. But over time, as resources and facilitation needs become greater, this needs to become more of a shared community role. And that movement of a shared community role, we call it decentralization of a network, actually helps improve the sustainability of that collaborative because people are more willing to contribute when the burden's not all on one, and also when people get to share that burden, they get some empowerment from that. I look at organizational value of the collaborative, trust, and reciprocity. So I'm going to just show a few of these, how we use them. There's a million questions here. They actually go through real quick. The questions drive strategic collaborative management. So what we do when people get their data, we start to ask questions, not only about the process, but you'll see at the end about what you want, what you as your collaborative want. So the first one, simple, is we say an important part of management is describing your network, including who's working with whom, who do you most commonly work with on issues, in this case of homelessness. So I just wanted to show you, this is kind of like the brief intro. If you look at this, and what I've been doing excited about my work is testing hypotheses and seeing what do we know about public health collaboratives. Well, this is a little different. This is just saying, let's look at this data and make decisions and think about it in a very kind of management way. So I'm kind of reminding you, I'm not reporting results at all right now. So in this case, this was our collaborative in the simulation. Actually, the screenshot kind of went off here. In my field, we look at everything by sectors, the nonprofit, the private, and the public sector. And that's how we divide things. We say, how does the nonprofit sector interact with the public sector? And then we throw in the private sector. So in this case, that's how these are delineated. The reds are the public sector. The blue are any organizations in the nonprofit sector. And the pinks are with the private sector. But that kind of gets important when we start thinking about strategies. So this was just, in this case, the lines represented, the question was, who do you already work with on a program around homeless issues? So these organizations would indicate, and as we see in sectoral studies, the nodes seem to cluster around sectors. All right, and so if we look at things like which organizations have frequent interactions, this is the common way that we measure network analysis. I just wanted to show this slide. It actually is pretty interesting of these network data. These are three different collaboratives, and if we look at it at this level, it just looks like a spider web, hard to see anything. We can see some things real clearly though right away. This is real decentralized. These are actually more centralized because they're kind of more of a hub and spoke network. When we look at less frequent interactions, an interesting thing of this is actually real data, three collaboratives. The one on the left here is the most, I call it mature collaborative. They've been working together for the longest amount of time. When we ask them the same question, like how frequently do you work together, or how often do you connect, and if this is, let's say, once a month. Those with the longest time of connections usually say less connections. That's an interesting kind of management strategy because what we've learned is actually more is not better. These are anecdotal. But over time, people actually have shown that they prefer to interact less. Maybe their trust has built up or their needs are, you know, they've started to figure out whose role is doing what. as opposed to newer collaboratives where they still feel like they need to interact frequently. Now, this is very generic. It doesn't apply to everyone, but I keep seeing this pattern over and over where collaboratives have been around a longer amount of time, but when you ask them how, you know, what they, at their least frequent interaction, they always look very well connected. So they don't lose that connectivity. They just manage it differently. So looking at in contribution, another thing that we put into the measurements are these, we ask these organizations, what do you bring to this collaborative? What kind of resources? So here's a list. I don't know if you can see, we got this by doing a lot of interviews and asking people what's important in public health collaboratives. So here's one way to look at it, almost like a resource data bank. Here's resources. But in this one, it's asking, this is your organization's most important contribution to this work of homelessness. If you just want to see something like funding, it's important to have that data too, so then people can start looking at it in this way and saying, all right, who says they can bring funding? Who says they can bring paid staff, volunteers, data, and so on and so forth, and how can we leverage those? I just want to give two last examples. I think I'm running out of time. In this way, we look at value. So one thing we asked when we were creating this also, we asked people, what's important when you're thinking strategically about this? And people would say, well, some people come to our collaborative for different reasons and we're not sure why. But it's important for us to know why, and then also to make sure we value their contributions. So instead of just measuring value by saying how valuable is this organization, this collaborative, we asked three different things that we also got from a qualitative analysis. We asked power and influence, so who has power and influence? How much level of involvement does an organization have, and what's their level of resource contribution? Because, as we know, some people who have power and influence have no involvement. Some who have a lot of involvement have no power and influence, but they're valuable very much equally almost to what we're doing. So in this case, if we click this and say, you know, which ones are powerful and influential, this is loaded data, you know, but this is actually really reflective in the work I do. The government agencies almost always appear more powerful and influential to people than nonprofit or even private agencies. So in this case, we have those, they get large because they have the highest scores. So then if we say, which ones have the most level of involvement, we see that this is also kind of reflective. Nonprofit organizations will say, well, we can volunteer time. We don't have as much resource, you know, otherwise. So something to think of this, when I use this in a simulation or training, we talk about this and we say, well, look at that politician up there, really powerful and influential, connected through the VA, a virtue of the VA some, and collaboration is important to them, but very vulnerable. They're not, it's something they're not putting a lot of money into, so that tie could go away really easily. So if this were an important situation for you, you need that politician in order to really promote a cause or something like that, you may want to take one of these organizations that have a lot of level of involvement and ask them to create, you know, we want to start creating network ties. So here's one where we want to create ties rather than reduce them. All right, and then actually we have a trust score. I'll just throw this up here. In our examples, trust in collaboratives, when I've measured it, is always really high. We also don't just ask, who do you trust? We have an index of trust where we ask, who do you think has mission congruence with you? Who is open to discussion? You can sit in a room and talk. And also, who is reliable? So we use that to measure trust. I don't know, actually, if it's a very valid score, because it always comes up high. I think that's people not wanting to say mean things about each other. But I'll talk to people before we measure, and they'll say, we lack trust, so that's going to be an important thing. And I've yet to find a collaborative where the trust is really low. So last thing, it's really important when you do all of this, when we're talking to these folks, you can go through all of these, but it's so important to say, what are our goals? What is our collaboration's goals? And when we can define those goals, then we can match strategies to meet those goals. And so here's a few ways that I talked to folks about, what do you want to do? You want to change your trust levels, create ties, remove ties, make it a less vulnerable network, more connected network, and we call this strategic collaborative management. So anyways, this is just, that's the end, I believe. Just something new we're working on, so thanks.
Maybe one question, we're kind of out of time, but a critical question.
Following up on your comment, you have that politician who seems very powerful, but what if that one time went away with the VA? Is there any way to get at the sense that if you wanted to connect with people you aren't already connected with, how easy would that be for you?
Well, sometimes I'll just invite that politician to a meeting, can you take them to lunch? I mean, creating relationships is, like in my relationship that shapes up, it's a cost, but it's something you nurture and develop. And so I think you can't write a script for it, for sure. But I think that there's strategies that you could employ. That's what we're gonna try to tease out a little bit. If you're a health department, you want to better connect with your politicians, what do you do? And we'll go through that too.
Let's thank all our panelists.